From the Loveland Fort Collins Church at Beggar's Gate. I am married to Pat Sokol, and I forgot to get a picture of him. Here he is. So everybody, he's adorable, he's cute. You guys don't see that. You see him up front, but he makes me laugh all the time in my life. I would be the biggest stick in the mud without this man. And here we are in front of a waterfall, and he's threatening to push me in, and we're all dressed up at this wedding, and I love him to death. He's just a sweetheart, and I love him, and very, very thankful that the Lord put us together. And, you know, some of those things that Kath didn't necessarily talk about it. Well, I said kind of, but her life growing up in regrets, and then Morgan this morning and Kimberly this afternoon. And Pat and I kind of have the same story. I wasn't raised in a Christian household. I was raised in a traditional church household. So we definitely had the church thing going. Later on, I became very thankful for that, for the seeds that were planted in my life at that point. And so anyway, Pat and I met in high school. And we dated 3.5 years before we both got saved. And then we dated a year and then got married. And I know you guys are all kind of wrestling with whether or not to date. Should I date? Should I listen to my parents? Should I not? If you want to come talk to me, I'm going to tell you not. Okay, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of regrets that you have in there. And I know you can just kind of see the rainbow, but it's not all rainbow. And so, but God in His grace and mercy, we've been able to work through tons of it. And it has not, as Morgan said, it has not stopped us in our relationship with the Lord and pursuing His kingdom here on this earth. And we're very thankful for that. Pat and I actually were voted in our high school as most likely not to make it as far as a couple. It's on record. And so this October will be 34 years for us. And I will only give credit to Jesus and God in our life. That's it. There is no other answer. Pat and I did not walk in how God asked us, and sometimes that's messy, and sometimes it works beautifully. But if that were not the case, I would not be standing up here telling you that I'm going to have our 34th anniversary. So with that, we have 5 kids. Ours are all grown out of the house, and I'm going to be speaking on God in the world. And that's kind of, because I actually didn't get saved until I was 19, I lived in the world. I was of the world. And then I got saved and then had to raise babies and tried to play that of not letting them get too far into the world and trying to hold on to their hearts. And while they were at home, most of that worked out well. And so I just kind of wanted to share a little bit about some of the things that we've learned in that process and just kind of the things that God has taught me personally. And so first, we're going to... Okay, so we have 5 kids, and our oldest daughter is 33. I don't have a picture of them because they're all kind of all over the place, and pictures are hard. So, but I do have a picture of this, right? Those are my grandbabies.
Aww. I know, thank you.
I love them to death. Yeah, so they're really funny. They come over every Tuesday for lunch at Mimi and Poppy's, is what Pat and I are called. And so they were super excited to, they range from 9.5 to these two little, Zelle and Gracie are 2. They just both turned 2. So our oldest 2 are married. And then we have 3 daughters that are 24, 26, and 28 that are not married. And so that's kind of our family, our little pack. But to go back, so Pat and I mean, I was not saved. Wasn't raised in a Christian household, didn't get saved till I was 19. And so a lot of the world was in my world, because that's all I knew. That's all I knew. So sports was a big thing. I actually struggled a lot being a girl. because I had four brothers and no sisters. And my mom was, bless her heart, I love her to death. She's polyester pants and sweatshirts and a pixie haircut. She's worn makeup once in her life, and I put it on her. She's adorable. I just love her to death. But I really didn't have a clue what a girl was. I had no idea what a girl was. And I really liked being a tomboy. I was way comfortable being a tomboy. And so, you know, I did the, just lived life with my brothers and did cheerleading and all that kind of stuff. All the things that the world really wants you to embrace. And I did that. And then I was about 17, and everybody kept going, you should go to modeling school. And I'm like, no, I do not have the personality. I am not a look at me type person. That's not my world. And everybody was pushing me in that direction. So I went to modeling school, but you know what? I'm even thankful for that. So when I was a senior in high school, I went there for 6 months, and I figured out how it was okay to be a girl. It was okay. Again, I didn't have any, what's that called? How to get there. You know, I just knew boy stuff, reference point. I had no reference on how to be a girl. So it actually was really good. So Pat always jokes with my dad, because he'll kind of make a couple comments about me going to modeling school, and Pat's like, but she walks really nice. $2,000, I can walk. So anyway, I was really thankful for that, and then shortly after that is when I got saved, and then I started figuring out what it was to be just a woman in Christ. And so I didn't have any competition, because I felt like God wanted both, not of the world, but he wanted me to be okay with being a girl, that he made me female. It wasn't a mistake. It was good. It was for me. It was a gift to me. And he could use it. And so I felt like those two things kind of came together right at the same point that allowed me to be able to walk in biblical femininity, which we're going to talk about tonight. So let's pray. Lord, we do just ask that you would just, God, I know you're here. I know you're here. You're just so excited. You're so excited with every woman that you've made here, God. It is no mistake that you've made them female. Father, we just pray that you are bigger in each one of our lives than anything that we can put before you to say, I can't be a biblical woman because ... God, I pray that we would see you as an infinite, almighty, wonderful God who wants to bless us in our womanhood. God, you want to use us for good. You want to bring good to this world through our biblical femininity. And we bless you and we praise you and we thank you for making us women. Okay, so the second thing I just want to let you guys know is John Meyer did a teaching at Frontline, What Am I Supposed to Do with My Sexuality and Gender? And it was awesome, and I would really encourage, I wrote it on the handout so you guys wouldn't go, oh, I forgot to write that down. It's there. So I would really listen to it. It's an awesome teaching. I thought it was great, so I won't say a lot of stuff he said, which is good. So how many of you guys missed school? Oh, that's cute. Okay. Okay. Well, Kathleen asked me not to do this, but I'm going to do it. So sorry, Kath. The word economy is what I'm going to use it briefly, and then I'm going to go to a different word. But the word economy is the process or the system by which goods and services are produced, okay? And so kind of what I want to talk about, and I'm going to use a different word than economy, but I wanted you to understand what the word economy meant, because it produces something in our lives. So the economy that we embrace will produce goods and services in our life. So there's two different value systems. So I'm going to take economy and I'm going to put value there. So there's two different value systems that this world has. And I'm stealing. You know how girlfriends share things? Well, I'm not techie, so Kat is sharing her slideshow, her PowerPoint with me.
That's tomorrow night.
Well, then I'm sharing it with Kat tomorrow night. I'm a stealer. You had it up last night. That's how I saw it.
Oh, I did?
Yes.
Okay,
so this really impressed upon me last night when Kathy was teaching. Guys, this is the road we're on, and we're all right here. Every day, but especially you teenage women, you guys are here. There's two economies out there. There's two value systems out there, and you have got to choose. You have got to make a choice. There's also another road that you're going to have to choose, and that is the difference between male and female. And there's a road for a female, and there's a road for a male. And if you see, they're kind of far apart, but they both lead to good places. Both of them do. And so that's why I'm saying we need to embrace that we're a woman, because God gave us that as a gift to be able to pursue a road. But the two different value systems, we have the world and we have God's value system. And a lot of times when we get tripped up, it's because we don't know which value system we've chosen. Or maybe we haven't even chosen a value system yet. The world would say that women are sexual objects. Those are sexual beings, that we need to flaunt who we are. Or that our value is in what we do, not who we are. The size of house that we live in, the clothes that we wear, the size of the rock that's on your finger, what friends you hang out with, your job. And it can even kind of filter a little bit into the church, a little bit even to believing churches, of what is the standards of the world can creep in there, like, What are my kids doing? Are they those things that Kath was talking about last night? You know, academics, achievements. What are we? What kind of message are we giving? That can even filter into the church. So that's one road, guys. And then the road of God, God's road, says that we do have a purpose. We have, we've been made in His image. Period. I just get so thrilled that we, the female, is made in part of the image of God. You guys understand it? Do you let that sink into your heart? That you are part of what God is. And yet sometimes we can not think that's a cool thing. It's not real cool in the world. And if you read the Bible, the writers of the Bible are very clear. It's not cool in the world. But it is way cool to God. And He really, really, really thinks you're cool. He really thinks the way He made you. All your strengths, all your weaknesses are super wonderful. And so to be able to embrace who you are and understand that He made you in the image of God and that you can illuminate who He is in this world. So we're here. And we have to pick. And I have a verse that I think really shares this. Matthew 6:24. Somebody want to read that one? Does anybody have that over there? My lovely girls are going to help me with reading verses.
It's
on the trick. Okay.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
And I know it says money on there, guys. But when you serve money, you're serving yourself. And when you serve yourself, you're serving the things of this world. So just be real understanding of that thought. You can't serve them both. You can't serve God and the world at the same time. It doesn't happen. God's very clear on that. And He did have a purpose for making this. But you have to pick. You have to choose a value system. And that's sometimes why we can get very confused in life. It's because the value system that we're thinking that we want to live by does not line up with our choices. And that's where it's confusion. And And that one of the world is a lot of shifting sand. The values do not stay the same. They change, culturally they change. And we all know that. I mean, there's just decision after decision after decision that is changing all about women and who we are and our purpose that God has made us. So I can honestly say, for 35 years, I think it is, that God's value on being a woman has never changed. It has never changed. But in the last 35 years in the world, a lot has changed. And so you have to make a decision of which road you're going to pick. And I'd love to talk on, but John, if you listen to John's tape, just think of this slide right here of the avenue that you're going to choose. You were made for a very specific role to illuminate God through your life here on this earth. God said that we are created in His image, and it's not a mistake. You are a diamond. You have many beautiful facets. And woman is made from God and has many facets. The word that I thought of, made in God's image, how He made woman, the word that I keep coming back to the whole time I was doing this was responder. And a woman is a responder. So on your sheet, there's five little lines. I'm going to read off a lot. And I'd like you to just, and if only one stands out to you, then only write one down. But I'm going to read probably about a dozen. So I want you to write some down that you go, I'd like to just study that a little bit more. I'd like to see maybe if God would have me walk in that. So the one I would say would be a responder. You are made in God's image as beauty. One He delights in. In strength. Which is different than a man. A gentleness. A kindness. With dignity. Being a weaker vessel. A provider. Again, different. If you read Proverbs 31, I'm going to have a couple more after this. In Proverbs 31, I understand she's married, but she cares. She provides for the daily needs of her family. And that's, it is her immediate family, but that also means where you guys are, just your church family, your immediate family, providing for those needs. We can have that. A bringer of good, not harm, all the days of her life. She is trusted. She is hard to find. That's what Proverbs says, you guys. She is hard to find. And I think that was pretty evident when Kath was asking for women, biblical femininity. Who are those women? She is hard to find. She serves others. She finds worth in her work under headship. People call her blessed. She is a blessing to others. So she is so much in one package. And that can be a little overwhelming. Walking our femininity is a journey that if we respond to our call that God gave us, we'll be walking in a lot of these qualities. We really will. Because on your own, ladies, you can't produce that. That is a beautiful list. And not, I'm sorry, I think you're all wonderful people. I don't think you can produce a life like this. You've got to do it with God. Biblical femininity is not a personality. Please remember that. It's the attributes of being a woman who receives her role and applies it to her life. It is from the fruit of the Spirit, ladies. Don't try, okay? Yield to God. Trust God, His word, and obey it. We may be able to pick and choose a couple of those, and we may be able to produce it for a little bit. But here's the thing. If it's on our own strength, our own energy, it is not going to last. But with God, we will be to go the journey of our life, because it flows from the Holy Spirit out of us. It is not something we produce. And again, I've never listened to myself on tape, but I hope you listen to this tape, because I just want you to stick in that paragraph of all those things that biblical femininity is, and to understand that each one of you gals can have that. And every one of those that I read is a heart issue, and it's a headship issue. And to be a biblical woman, both those have to be engaged in your heart and headship. In Proverbs 31, I feel like she really was able to, this is the sum of her life, okay? She didn't do this all in one day. But I'd love for you guys to read it, because the thing that stands out to me is, you read this, and most people read it after they're married. I know people read it before they're married. But you read it and you go, oh, I can't do that. But do you understand she didn't wake up one day and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to be married? I better get my act together. No, she prepared. She prepared her life to not be married. I'm not sure, this is one of the questions when I get to heaven, I'm not sure that was her goal. In the culture, probably was to be married. But you guys all here, there may be people here who don't have a desire to be married, and that's not wrong. You can still be a biblical feminine woman who walks with God and brings much glory, as she did. But the thing is you're going to look a lot like her, just without a husband, but there's going to be headship in your life if you're going to walk this out. So she prepared her life for this time in her life, way before she ever landed there. So you guys are teens. This is important for you guys to start preparing these different areas of bringing good and not harm, of finding worth in your work, unloading the dishwasher, whatever that may be, your job, whatever that may be, kindness, gentleness, all those things. You're preparing for your life in the future, as Laura's going to talk about tomorrow. And single women, some may not get married, but this, they can still bring God great glory through their life with the whole Proverbs 31 woman. I think God is very tender with women. And when you read all those attributes and different facets of a woman, he's just got to be so pleased with who he made her to be. And there is no other religion or no other culture that has offered what God has offered to his women who walk with him. None. But it gets twisted when we as women and men don't yield to its truth. And that's the world we live in. And that can, again, be in even believing all this. And that's where faith comes in, ladies. Because I'm not saying to be a biblical woman, you have to have a biblical man. God has made this position completely separate from anything else that ever happens in your life. You guys can all walk this out. But it's going to take faith. But he does promise us when we do walk it out, he does promise us reward. Do not grow weary. There's a reward coming. That is, it may not be here on this earth, but it's coming. You will see it. One of the songs we sang, your faith shall be revealed when you get to heaven. Your faith, ladies, not how good you did down here on earth, will be revealed in heaven. And if you did this and had an extremely challenging home, because you girls aren't married, challenging home to walk this out, challenging husband, challenging in-laws, challenging, but you apply faith to it. There's a reward for that in heaven. God promises peace. He promises rest, a purpose for your life, protection, care, comfort. But here's the thing. This will not be attractive to you, unless you set your soul on making a very big decision here. Whose value system are you going to walk in? You have to make that decision. because they're not going to look the same. The road is completely different. And if you try to dabble, it's going to get super confusing and super frustrating for all of you. The outcome of your life as a woman will be defined by this choice. On your sheet that I gave you guys, we're going to kind of contrast a little bit of the world's femininity and God's, what God says femininity is. And I wish I could tell you that one of them is the most important. And I know you guys hear this all the time. But they're all very important. But some of them may feel more important because there's some hurts that are tied to them. Or more challenges to walk in having faith to walk through that. So the world says fashion and form equals success, equals outward beauty. And we buy into that. We buy into that. It's going to be a real challenge for us girls. Hard not to fall into this trap. Fashion, outward appearance. It's a big deal for us. And yet God says, fear the Lord with inner beauty and modesty. Do you see how those worlds don't match? Where are you going to overlay those things? Right here in the center? Oh, frustration. Okay? That's not going to be a peaceful place. They don't line up. And I have a verse out of Proverbs 31:30-31. Somebody gonna read that over there, lovely? Okay. Becca looks like she's getting it. Is the woman who lives in fear of God. I want you to write down on your paper right now, what in this life do you fear? What do you fear? It's a little challenging. Because some of my lists were, God wasn't on there. You gotta kind of engage with that. Do you fear God? It's a good thing. Okay, we're gonna do something. I have, just bear with me. This is because I love my little noise. So we're gonna read 1 Timothy 2:9. Talking about modesty, but it's going to be out of the Hawaiian pigeon version. You guys ever heard of it?
No.
Okay. This is their new translation.
Okay. So this is 1 Timothy 2:9. And I like the women who act the right way too. I like them dressed good and get respect for their own self when they put on clothes. The good looks no come from fancy kind hair or from putting on fancy kind gold or pearl or kind jewelry or the kind of clothes that cost a plenty of money.
And all God's people said, amen. Did you guys even know there was a Hawaiian pigeon version of
it? It's
look it up online. Yeah. Actually, you probably don't. it's a fun translation, but but in this area of modesty, so again, I came out of the world, came into a church. I actually went to my first church picnic on a motorcycle with my husband, well, he wasn't my husband at that point, with Pat. I had short shorts and a tube top with a little cute shirt tied up to here. That's okay? Yeah, there's a picture out there of me in that. But I know who has it, so. So God has done a lot in my life. I'm just here to tell you that God can really do a lot. But I gotta tell you, I'm gonna confess to you, I really had this attitude that these Christian men needed to kind of deal with this area in their life and not bring me into it. I was totally fine wearing the clothes I was wearing. And, I don't remember hearing that any of that being in God's way he made a woman, but that was the world, okay? That was the world coming out of me. And I really thought they just kind of needed to get their act together. They needed to go before Jesus. They needed to pray about this. They needed to close their eyes. They needed to quit looking at women. This was all their problem. Mm-hmm. And I would even pray for them that they wouldn't be stumbled. So, anyway, And so that was my heart. So anyway, I proceeded one day to go up to the pool in Ames, Iowa, and I didn't know a whole lot of people there, and I proceeded to walk home, which was about a mile. I had jean shorts on and a swimsuit top. And anyway, a man followed me. Was kind of going in between the cars and trees and super stalky the entire way. Freaked me out the entire time. I just lost it. But I got home and I ran up to my apartment and I locked the door and I called Pat, he lived two houses down, and I said, there's this creepy guy, and he followed me all the way home. And the Lord just kind of, I remember going up against the wall and just going, and of course Pat came over and chased him out of the house, or out of the apartment complex, and I just sat there and I went, this isn't all their problem, is it, Lord? I kind of was part of the problem. I was not dressed modestly. I was not dressed respectfully, as it talks about in 1 Timothy 2. I was dressed in a provocative way that drew attention to myself that could have led me to a really bad place. And from that point on, I told the Lord, I will yield to you. And I will respect and love and honor and care for my brothers in this, because this is not just their problem. And it's not a problem. It's a world problem. And that's how you live in the world, ladies. We're not just talking about the Christian brothers here. Okay? Now that would care tremendously for them if we're not showing them parts of our anatomy that they would prefer not to see. I talked to a young, I didn't talk to him. We had a list of things that some guys would share with the women. And he said, if any woman has cleavage, he can't talk to her. And this was a married man. Kind of sober, just a little. But that is not what the world says. Actually, the world, I looked it up in the concordance because I was just really kind of messing with a couple of these verses on modesty. And it said that men are in the shame of their glory with the way women dress. They're very shameful, but yet there's a glory, there's something there they're pulling out of it. And we're part of that. We're making these men go to a bad place with the way we dress. But yet I also looked at modesty and it said attractive. So you can dress attractive. Actually, that's what the William McDonald Concordance said, was attractive, to dress attractive. So it's not saying we all have to wear sackcloth, which is good. But the two roads on modesty, I don't connect. So one of the things I would just love to throw out to you girls is, do you have accountability in your youth groups? Is there that freedom? Have you guys talked about that? Can you guys call each other to that? Are you guys kind of, no, this is my deal. This is the way I dress. I don't know if there's right answer or wrong answer to that, but can you talk about it? Is it something you guys could do? And if you have fathers that are engaged in that way, will you honor them, like Morgan said today, with where your dads are in this area? Our girls did that. I thought they did it very well. We had 4 girls, 1 boy. So anyway, I'd just love for you guys to think about this. This isn't their problem. We have a role in this as women, that God wants us to care for all men, not just Christian men, all men. Second area, strength. The world would say, you know, competition. Competition with men, outspoken, powerful, try harder, push, demand. That would be the strength of a woman. What does God say? You guys can all read it. What's it say? Oh, wow, you guys are really quiet. Quiet and gentle spirit. Our life can be without a word. Our life can be
powerful.
Yeah, without a word. Because what God is looking for there is our conduct. Okay? It's not even how many words you say. It's the conduct. And I thought this was interesting. How many women do you know because of their conduct? Like Kathleen was asking last night, heroes in this. Because of their conduct, the way they live life. How many can you think of in this arena? In 1 Peter 3:4, it says, "But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." There's something about that quiet and gentle spirit, and I just even thought, you know, I'm not real in your face with Pat. That's not my personality. But I also understand that's not where God would like me to stand. But there are times when I, you know, he'll ask me something and I'll want to give another thought. Or I want to give another idea. And just the other day, Pat kind of challenged me on this. Pat gave a thought, and I thought, I think I just want to be a joy to my husband. And so I just went and did it. How many times when your parents ask you to do things, is there the, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Can we just in quiet and gentleness just become a joy for them? Can we walk in that? Again, that's completely different than the way the world is going to ask you to have strength. There's a lot of faith and there's a lot of strength in having a quiet and gentle spirit. I love the way that Message actually puts this. It says that they will be captivated by your life of holy beauty, by your inner disposition. Cultivate inner beauty and gentle, gracious, gracious, kind that God delights in. The holy women of the old were beautiful before God that way. They were good, loyal wives to their husband. Your inner disposition will be evident on the outer person. No faking this. The next one would be all energy goes into preserving me, is what the world would like you to believe. As far as being a woman, your life, your stuff, your ambitions, your goals. And God would say, be a blessing to others. Be a giver and bring good to people all the days of your life. Do you have white space in your life and your family to be a blessing? Or is it always a battle that you're pursuing that always takes your desires to be able to do good to others away? I heard an acronym once. I don't know if you guys have heard this. You get, it's always challenging when you're the acronym FAT. When I first heard it, a man was saying fat, and I went, you're going to actually call women fat? Oh my gosh. But it means faithful, available, and teachable. And that is not what the world would say. Would be an attribute of a woman. The woman was given for the benefit of others, not for selfishness. Another way that the world would look at or just womanhood, is don't let others tell you what to do. You're your own person. And God would say, be under, submit to the authority of God, leadership, husbands, and other men. And that one's not a popular one. But I want to tell you here, did you know that if your parents did not submit to the government of the United States, they could go to jail? Did you know that if people you know don't submit to their employer, they can be fired? And it works well in those things. We see that as totally fine. God is a God of order. And this is the order he's given us. And so women, God has asked us to put our lives in submission under the headship of other men, under leaders, under pastors, under employers. But he's asked us to not disdain that role, but to embrace that role. And children, there is a submissive submission God's asking even of you guys. And the verse has been read by everybody, and I'm sure you can all quote it. Ephesians 6:1. Let's do it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. So if one of the words that I really see in how God designed a woman is a responder, so in the area of submission, what would a responder look like? What would that look like for you young women who are still under the headship of their father? Did you guys know that God is giving you guys your parents to draw faith out of you? Sometimes you can look at them as just taking care of you, and possibly, maybe sometimes, I'm sure not much, but maybe being a little annoying. I'm sure none of you are having those thoughts. But have you ever had the thought that God put them there to draw faith out of you? That's something to think about. How could submission work out in your guys' lives? Well, cell phones. Cell phones would be an area that could be a submissive area where you would have to respond. Or going to a party or an event that you really want to go to. Or using the car. Do you allow your parents to lead you? Learning to trust God through imperfect people at a young age, and you might not have all the answers of the wise. There's a training here for the rest of your life. We don't always have all the answers. We don't understand everything that happens in life. And I know as a teenager that's a big deal. Wanting to understand everything, knowing the whys, has to make sense, has to logically fit into your brain. And then you get out and you do life, and there's a lot of things that don't make sense. Our oldest daughter, who's 33, she has Lyme disease. She's had it for 3 years, and it's pretty debilitating. She has no idea why. None. She has no answers from God. She can trust him. She can rest in it. And she's trusting that God will lead her through it. But we don't know what the outcome is. We don't have all the answers to the whys. So I just really ask you to look at your parents as drawing faith out of you, not having to have all the answers for why you can and cannot do things. Be a blessing, be a joy to them. Because this is preparing you for life later. John Meyer in his teaching said, the gift of womanhood is a quiet, gentle spirit. And his definition of that I loved. And I see this under the headship of submission, but it fits in all other areas. It's not stressed, a quietness, not responsible for, and trusting God. And so when you feel responsible for a lot of things, that's where you start going down that road. And then you start coming over this road going, no, I really want to follow Jesus with my life, but I feel really responsible over here. They're not going to meet. They're not going to come together. They're two different things. So we either have to rest in one value system or rest in the other one. But you can't put them together. This was a big deal for Pat, just this whole area of submission. And before we were even married, I think, he was in his early 20s, we were over in Ames, Iowa, and there was some, he was still that young boy who just got saved, you know, had a lot of energy, and, you know, would rather be fishing than going to church, and, but he loved Jesus, but that was just kind of the way he was. The guy who discipled him would come knock on his door, and Pat would be running out the back door with his fishing pole jumping in his pickup truck to go, but he just, you know, all this stuff, and then he was at this meeting, and these, like, stellar, godly women came up to him, and they just said, so, Pat, what are we going to do? And he was just like, oh my gosh, they're looking to me to lead. And Pat said that response from those women, who could have just mopped the floor with him spiritually, it would not have been, they actually called him out of his boyhood and called him into being a man of God. And he gives those women credit because he was not someone to even look at and go, gee, lead us, oh, you great one. That was not where he was in his life. But these women knew how to draw godliness out of men, and it was beautiful. We kind of went through that. So we just took our teens, we went to LA. We just had an LA trip in April, I think it was. And there was, Isaac was leading our crew, he was 17. And Pat and I were in the van, and I kind of had some good ideas. I'm a mom, kind of figured this out, you know, and I was just like, Pat, how about if I just kind of throw these out to Isaac? So I'm trying to be under the headship of my husband, and Pat's just like, Ben, just kind of be careful. Maybe just ask him, appeal. Don't tell. Your motherhood is kind of coming out in full blownness. You know, telling people what to do. I did it for 30 years. I am really good at it. And Pat just says, don't tell him what to do. Jokingly. He's like, all the kids are gone now. You're not going to boss me around. Like, darn. But anyway, I just kind of went, oh, that was so good for me to pull my heart back and to just appeal to Isaac. And it called him out of being a boy into being a man. And all these girls can attest to it. They were there. And he just, he led like a man, not a boy. And so we have that effect when we walk in this, ladies. Okay, I'm going to hurry up here. Friendships. In the world, you have friendships that benefit you. Otherwise, you stop being friends with them. That's kind of the way the world works. If they don't benefit you in some way, then you're done. And the God would say, a friend loves at all times and works through hard situations. Very different. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of rejection in friendships. And again, that can trickle into the church a lot, too. Here's the thing I want you to do. I don't want you to try and do this on your own. Okay, if you're in the church, and whether it's friendships outside the church or inside the church, I want you to go and find somebody I love, a mom, a mentor, somebody you can trust, and I want you to ask them to help you walk through it. Because this is something that can really be healed. It really can. God can do amazing things. It's spiritual, you guys. It's not just a thing. It's a deeply spiritual thing. And yet, there's this thing that we're really drawn to the world in our friendships. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't allow those to influence us. Our daughter, when she was in eighth grade, she came home and she said, Mom, will you homeschool me through high school? We had done a church plant, so she was in school. For a couple years, younger than our other kids. She said, will you homeschool me in high school? And I said, you just want to get out of tests. And she said, no, Mom. It is so hard going to school and being with all these kids who are one way and then coming home and living life in a completely different place. I mean, completely different value system. She was having to, as an eighth grader, having to walk through both those roads. It's very confusing for her. So we prayed about it, we did bring her home. And so I just want you to know, though, that the friendship thing is a big deal, and she really felt the pressure and the rejection. Pull people in. Don't try to do this on your own, because it hurts deeply when you get rejected, when you feel alone, when you feel like you don't fit in, when your value system is completely different. Our oldest daughter came home from high school, her first year there, after a couple months, and she just sat on the couch, and she just looked at me, and she had tears in her eyes, and she goes, "Mom, I don't fit in with anybody." And I just looked at her, and I hugged her, and I said, "Baby, we didn't raise you to fit in with those people, not those people, but the world." And she looked at me and smiled, and she goes, "I know, but it's still." And I was just like, it does. So talk to people. Don't be alone in it. And sometimes our friends will ask us to do things to be their friends. And I love the verse in 1 Peter 4. I'm going to just read part of it. It says, "For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passion, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join in with them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." So they're going to give an account for those things. The question you should ask is, does Jesus want to be there? Wherever your friends want to go. Have no regrets. You guys can have no regrets. I look back and go, I have some regrets. I have a lot of things I don't regret. But you guys are in control of your no regrets. So the confusion comes when our value systems don't line up with our life choices. And why that's so confusing is because we've given our affections to the things that we can struggle with. So I have, a woman brings her strength to whatever her affections are. It's one of God's unique designs of a woman is she is a responder, so she will respond to her affections. I have absolutely no affections for superheroes. Zero. Okay, I know that may offend some of you in the room. I know I might not be your friend anymore. Superheroes and me, it's not a problem, okay? But some of you give your heart to knowing all about them, finding out new things, studying all the stuff that goes along with it, buying clothing that represents it, going to conventions where there's hundreds and thousands of people and you pay money to go do that. And I just go, it's not an issue, girls, with me. But the reason it's an issue is because you gave your affection to it. What are you going to give your affection to? What are you going to give your affection to? Because you will respond to that. That's why the world can entice us, as it says in Proverbs. Read Proverbs if you want to learn a way to be able to figure out how to handle the world. The world will entice you. And if you're struggling in that area because of your affections, be careful. Be careful. Because you will be drawn into that. So if our affection then, if we give our affection to Jesus, and we study him, and we know his life, what pleases him, what hurts him, who he is as a person, what is on his heart, this is what he says in John 14, 15. If you love me, so he even gives you the option of not. If you love me, then you will obey what I command. Your affections will be towards Jesus. Let's say someone came and asked you to pray about marrying them. Okay? You would think deeply about what it meant for your life and life possibly together with this man and how things would change. You would pray through that. Do I even like him? Do I love him? Do I want to spend the rest of my life with him? What would that mean for me? Me, the person of who I am? How would my life look different? How would our life look as a we? Can I remain single and still be married to him? Can I be independent and be married to him? Do I have to go home every night to that same man? Can I just be present some of the time? If someone asks me to marry them, can I do that? Would you prepare for marriage? Now, some of those questions you guys giggled at. Like, do you have to go home every night? But do you understand when you said yes to Jesus, you became his bride? You were Jesus' bride. So why would that be so funny? When we go, okay, Jesus, I'm coming down this road right here. But you know what? Tonight, you're going to head down this road. I'm going home. I'm going home to our husband, guys, gals. We're playing the adulterous woman. Jesus really wants to be your husband. And that's part of the biblical femininity. We have somebody. Kimberly said this morning, or this afternoon, you guys aren't married. And I almost went, oh, wait. Yes, you are, if you said yes to Jesus. You're his bride. And so wouldn't we want to prepare for that, for the day that we get to meet him? I just think it would be awesome. So on your sheet, I have a little bow. It says, I, put your name in there, take thee, Jesus, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward. This is where he is in your life if you choose that road. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, forsaking all others, till death do us part, and that part doesn't happen, according to God's holy word. I plead, I pledge thee my faith, and I pledge myself to you. The world is going to tell you that you are not married to Jesus. You can pick their value system, but there will be no rest for the feminine heart. You'll always be fighting. So I just encourage you to pick Jesus, to pick this road, but understand that you have to pick the world or biblical femininity. And I have a song, real quick, that I would like. It's by Derek Webb. It's called Beloved. Has anybody ever heard it? And the one thing about this song is I love it, and I really love the searching that this guy, Derek Webb, went through. So I decided to look him up again. You know what, ladies? I almost didn't play this. I found out that he had an affair, an extramarital affair. And he was married to a really sweet, believing wife. And you know why he did that? He gave his affections somewhere else. Keep your affections with Jesus. This is the same. Of the love. Nick Clark.
Thank you. but me.
We're good. So come back in 10 minutes, okay? We'll do our thing. Thank you.